joining us now, Steve Blass, former Pittsburgh Pirate, excellent pitcher, who has for quite some time now broadcast Pittsburgh Pirate games, was a teammate of Willie Stargell's. Willie Stargell, known affectionately as Pops throughout the baseball world, throughout America, died last night at a young age. I mean, the older I get, the more I realize 61 is a very young age. Steve, was this a surprising development? Had Stargell been gravely ill for any length of time?
Well, Tony, it was it was a surprise, but I wasn't stunned because he had not been well for a couple of years. In fact, he came to Pittsburgh to Three Rivers the last game before we started to tear it down and threw out the last pitch, and he really was not well. Kind of looked like the eyes of age. So, surprised, but not stunned.
A great heroic figure in Pittsburgh. Apparently, there is a statue, the Brandon Ballpark, PNC Park. There's a bronze statue of Stargell's likeness. What was, I don't know. Was he on the level of Clemente? Had he surpassed Clemente in terms of the hearts of the Pittsburgh people?
Well, I think, Tony, we were fortunate in Pittsburgh. I don't know if he surpassed him, but he's right there with him. Well, we had two guys that carried with them that kind of presence, a Clemente and a Stargell. Mm-hmm. They were great ball players, but when they left the ballpark, their kind of style and class kind of went with them wherever they walked into. These guys could walk into a boardroom or a fire hall or a little league banquet, and there was a presence. Not every great ball player has had that. I mean, there have been great ball players all over the major leagues, and they've been recognized justifiably. So we were fortunate to have two guys of that caliber. It's kind of ironic. The morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, when we heard that Clemente died, the first thing I did was go to Stargell's house. I didn't know where else to go. I'm not sure where to go this morning.
Willie Stargell has this. Now, you played with him, Steve. I remember covering the 1979 World Series. And Stargell, in the locker room, after the games in Baltimore, and I believe that they won it in Baltimore. I think they won two in a row to win in Baltimore. In the locker room afterwards, he sat there with a crab mallet in his hand, and there was a bottle of white wine near him, and he was eating Chesapeake Bay crabs, talking with writers for hours after games, showing you a side of a ball player that as a writer you rarely saw, a full and complete human being willing to teach you stuff about himself and learn stuff from you. And I would think, Steve, that that's very rare in an athlete. He seemed to reject the pedestal that people wanted to put him on.
Well, when we as teammates walked into the ballpark, you looked over in that locker and you saw stability. And there are so many peaks and valleys in a major league sports that you look for any nugget of consistency. And that was so helpful because Willie was always the same. You walked into that locker room, over in the corner was this big man who was a big man in a lot of ways. But you almost had that feeling, okay, it's going to be okay now. No matter what has gone on with a ball club or what happened at home, okay, now we're going to be okay because Willie's here and he's got that stabilizing presence. And he had time for everybody. It was kind of a quiet dignity, a quiet presence. And you can be intimidated approaching athletes, but I don't think you're intimidated approaching Willie. He never lost track that I think he was a person first and then a great athlete. So he did not get swept away.
We're talking with Steve Blass, formerly a Pittsburgh Pirate pitcher, now a broadcaster who was a teammate of Willie Stargell's. And it seemed to me that Stargell was thought of as a teammate, and I know it's sounding very repetitive, but he was thought of as a teammate, Steve, in the way that Frank Robinson in Cincinnati and in Baltimore was thought of as a teammate. You know, he ran the kangaroo court. His word was law. And even if you had great young players coming up, maybe even great young outspoken guys like Dave Parker, that everybody sort of recognized that Stargell was the law in the clubhouse.
Oh, he was the man. He was absolutely the man, and I can verify that because he and I go back to 1959 when we were both 18 years old, and you talk about a guy who was tested in a lot of ways, obviously with what you have to do to be a Major League Baseball player, but he came out of the tenements of Oakland, And I'll just take you back to a quick story. In the early 60s, before either one of us got to the big leagues, we had spring training for the minor leaguers in Jacksonville, Florida, and we would be picked up in a bus to go to breakfast at this restaurant, and the white guys would be picked up in one side of town, and the black guys would be picked up in the other side of town. So there was all that he was dealing with, and that to me is an indicator too. That didn't intrude on his dealing with people, whether they're black or white. So, you know, he wasn't born in the upper class suburbs. He paid his dues even on into the game of baseball, and that's where you get tested. And every player that came to the Pirates when Willie was there was aware of his presence. And you're absolutely right. He was the man. He was simply the man. Well, Clemente was a little more to himself, but Willie was there. He was expansive, and you almost kind of walked into his house when you walked into that clubhouse.
This was an interesting thing. I remember seeing that in the World Series when I was covering that World Series. But here is a guy, and maybe it has to be one of the black players who does this. Maybe that it's easier for a black player to reach out to everybody in the locker room. But here's a guy, when they said, "We are family," you got no sense walking into that room that Stargell wasn't the first among equals with everybody, with black, with white, with Latin. That's a rare and great gift. A lot of guys talk about doing that. You know, Reggie, who I knew well with the Yankees, talked about doing it all the time, but couldn't do it. Stargell did it. His sense of sort of racial harmony in a very volatile time in America, that's awfully impressive, Steve.
Oh, yeah. Well, you talk about the family. If you want to refer to the Pirate team and the clubhouse as a family, well, he was the father. He was the patriarch. And what's interesting, in those late 60s, early 70s with the Pittsburgh Pirates, we had a lot of white guys, we had a lot of black guys, we had a lot of Latin guys. So we had basically three sets of social backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And Willie maintained all his life that he learned so much from Roberto Clemente about carrying yourself with dignity. But that mix, I mean, you talk about those three factions, and with our ball club, you had Stargell, you had Clemente, you had Mazeroski. So you had three kind of entities that got together because there were examples set by all three of those people in their respective ways and their different personalities and their different styles. But Stargell never once hesitated to say how much he learned about being a person and the dignity that you carry yourself with from Roberto Clemente.
Those were great days for Pittsburgh, both mm-hmm. with the Steelers and with the Pirates in the 70s, the late 70s, early 80s, the city of champions, the whole notion that this small place, Pittsburgh, would be well-liked by football fans and baseball fans around the country. It has taken a more dramatic turn for the worse in terms of the fortunes of the Pirates. How is the state of baseball in Pittsburgh now, and is there a likely impact from Stargell's passing?
Well, there will always be an influence that Willie Stargell has in this city. He was that kind of person as well as a producer and a performer. The state of baseball, I think, is good. I've been gushing about this new ballpark. We certainly hope that the team will come along. That's something I don't know how much control we have. But last weekend when we played the two exhibition games against the Mets, I felt this city get young again. And it's been an old city, and I just felt like the city got a lift and energized, which was the intent. And so you hope it continues. And it's already a good thing. I think whether the Pirates win 100 games, lose 100 games, what happened, the city has a win this year. And just on a side note, when we're talking about all this and Stargell, I've got a big picture at home of Willie and myself. So this is Willie's going to be here today, and this is going to be our 12th opener together.
There is a large bronze statue in front of the ballpark. Is there likely to be, well, obviously it's very soon, but this doesn't take anybody by complete shock, Steve. Is there likely to be anything more of a commemorative nature, maybe a street named, or you wouldn't change the name of a ballpark, but would there be something more for Willie Stargell there?
That I don't know, because this has come about so suddenly, but it's hard to imagine you commemorating anybody's memory more than with a statue. So to me, that's enough. They might do more. I'll be fine with that also.
How many guys from Clemente in the Hall of Fame, Stargell from the Hall of Fame, anybody else from the Pirate teams you were on in the Hall of Fame?
Mazeroski's going to go in as a veteran.
Yeah.
So, you know, you talk about those three guys that I mentioned, Clemente, Stargell, and Mazeroski. I was blessed to play on teams with those guys, and it's wonderful. We're going to go to Cooperstown this year for Maz.
Okay. I would be remiss if I didn't at least mention this. You get this in every interview in the world. It's off the subject of Stargell, but certainly everybody was aware of what happened, that your inability to pitch just suddenly happened to find the plate. As you see Rick Ankiel yesterday, have a wonderful day for him. You know, three walks in five-plus innings, eight strikeouts. I imagine you have empathy for him more than anybody else out there.
Well, I root for him. In fact, it's ironic. Mark Wohlers is here who went through all that kind of stuff, too. And I saw Mark in Cincinnati, and even though he pitched effectively against us in one of those games, the opening series, I went over and congratulated him. So, yeah, I do relate to those guys. I do know when somebody struggles, the phone is going to ring.
Sure.
Somebody said, you should call Rick Ankiel. I said, I'm probably the last guy he wants to hear from. But I'm happy for him, and I'm not surprised. You know, you've got to go through that a long time before you have a sense that somebody might not get out of it at all. So I'm very happy. I'm absolutely delighted.
Age might have something to do with that. I mean, I'm one of those people who immediately cried doom and said this was career threatening, and I'm not sure that I'm still not right on this down the road, but maybe at his age, maybe it is easier to work through.
Yeah, perhaps. And, you know, the technology, the sports psychologists, all that is obviously better than it was when I played. So you root for people like that. I know exactly what he was going through when I watched the playoffs last year, and I wouldn't wish that on anybody. I will say this, when you go through that, come out successfully on the other side, I don't think you can ever be devastated, because that really does make you stronger when you know you can kind of withstand that.
Steve, thank you under difficult circumstances for coming on today. I appreciate it. Steve Blass, the Pittsburgh Pirates, was a pitcher, now is a broadcaster. I read from the AP story on Willie Stargell a quote from him talking about the We Are Family phase in the 70s, late 70s with the Pirates. We won, we lived, and we enjoyed as one. We molded together dozens of different individuals into one working force. We were products of different races. We were raised in different income brackets, but in the clubhouse and on the field, we were one.